Following broadcast of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier. You will not be able to call in during the next hour. The next Sioux Valley Voice is scheduled for Wednesday, June 24th. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna. I'm Philip Manning. Today on Sioux Valley Voice, we will be discussing KTNA. Specifically, we'll take a look at the anticipated funding cuts from the state of Alaska and what that means for your community radio station. My guests today are KTNA General Manager Will Peterson and Board President Sue Dio. You can join the conversation. The number to call is 733-1200, or you can send an email to dj@ktna.org. We do have Sue and Will in the studio with us. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Sure, Philip.
Good morning, Philip.
So, I guess to get us started, we've been talking for a while about how we are anticipating some cuts from the state legislature, but I guess to understand the full impact of that and what that really means, I guess we should talk about how KTNA's funding structure works to begin with. So, Will, if you can kind of walk us through where our money comes from.
Before I start, it's interesting that you said the anticipated funding cuts. We are at June 10th.
I know.
And it's still not clear. And it's not just to public radio, but I'm not here to criticize the legislature. We could do that some other time. But but it's very frustrating for a lot of people who are working on budgets at this time of year.
The people who are working.
People who are threatened with losing their jobs in other businesses. But so anyway, that's a little frustrating for people like me and the thousands of other people across the state. The funding for KTNA is really similar to funding for public radio across the nation. Doesn't really make a difference where you are. There's some variations on the same theme. Most of us, there are public radio stations out there that just do clearly, totally. Palmer Free Radio is a good example of that, of individual contributions. But most public radio stations, as we know them, are funded with federal funds. Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the federal government spends $1.48 per capita on public broadcasting, public radio. Many of the states also fund public broadcasting. Alaska is one of those states. And then we do individual memberships, underwriting, sponsor supportive programs, some special events. Some stations are into gaming. KTNA is not. But that's basically where our funds come from, those main things. CPB, federal money, state money, individual contributions, and then business support.
Okay. And it's about a third.
Yeah, it's about a third. That's, KTNA's got a very small budget for a radio station when you think about what it does. The current budget we're in right now is $332,000, I think. And we're looking at a budget of about, the board met last night, didn't approve a budget, of about, what is it, 304, I think we're looking at. So about a third of that does come from the feds. About a third, and it's going to be a lot smaller portion now comes from the state, and the rest of the money we raise locally from listeners just like you.
Okay, so it's not pledge drive yet, Will.
Yep.
It's always pledge drive.
Always pledge drive.
Always, Philip.
Every day.
You mentioned kind of the breakdown, a third, a third, a third, and so one of those three pools that we draw money of, we're looking at a significant cut. Now, mm-hmm. I know we opened the show by saying we're not entirely sure what the extent of that cut's going to be. We thought we knew. Now maybe we don't know.
Well, we're pretty clear. Mm-hmm. What's on the table right now is a 23% cut in our state dollars. Again, with a small station, a small budget, no matter how big your station mm-hmm. is, it's considerable. And then there's, as the conference committee, the legislative conference meets, there's money on the table. They're talking about they're not talking about it very much, but adding back into the cut about $250,000. So that would take that cut from 23% to somewhere around 18 or 19%.
Which is back to what we originally...
It's back to the governor's budget, essentially. Yeah. And he came out, you know, he came out what, back in December, we've been dealing with this, an 18% cut. And then the House said 23, I think, and then the Senate said 100.
Yeah. 60, then 100, then back.
So they, you know, they play their game, whatever that game is. I'm not sure of the rules, but you know, hopefully by the board now is called a special meeting for June 29th to hopefully approve the budget at that time. We should know by then.
Hopefully.
But, yeah.
So. Well, and I guess it's significant to talk about why there wasn't a budget approved last night. Sue, if you
because,
can.
Yeah, because we don't know. You know, I mean, we've talked, we've actually had a few different sessions and invited a few people that weren't on the board to join our discussions about what to do with that big of a cut and what to cut and how to cut.
Right.
And it's a really difficult decision, and some hearts are going to break, I think, a little bit. But we don't know what else to do. You know, at some point, you just have to say, you know, we do what we do, and hopefully, people understand that. But we didn't approve the budget because we decided, you know, if this money gets back in, then, you know, we're struggling to figure out how. Well, there's about a $5,000 that we're like, well, okay, hire Will, or what do we do? that's not actually very funny, but it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to laugh.
No, it's not.
You have to laugh or you'll cry,
right? Exactly.
So anyway, that we have to approve a budget by July 1st.
Right.
So there we have it.
I asked the board to not approve the budget last night. I presented a budget that's still got a $5,000 gap in it. I could have sat in my office yesterday or the day before and... crippled us a little bit more, but I thought, why do that when there is a possibility that we're going to get that five back from the state or maybe a little bit more? And I'd rather play that game of, oh, we have a little bit extra money, what should we spend it on, than saying, okay. And I told the board last night, if we do have to cut that $5,000 out of the budget, there's only two places to cut the budget anymore, payroll and programs. And none of this is easy. I'm a public radio fan, so I too will be losing programs that are near and dear to me.
Right.
And so I don't take it lightly. The other part is, you know, I manage a group of people here, and they're going to take a hit here. That's not easy to do. So, so I'm the eternal optimist, I think, and I'm kind of feeling pretty good about getting this little bit of extra money back.
Yeah, so. That'd be great.
Plus, I love meeting with the board. So I've said this in so many places. KTNA has a great board of directors, and if you're a member or a listener who's not a member, you should be pretty happy with that statement because a good functioning board is significant.
Right. And I guess in the interest of full disclosure, we should say, of course, that both yours and my paychecks are somewhat dependent on what's happening here. We have a direct financial stake in what's going on right now. And I don't know if any of us has mentioned the actual number. We've talked about percentages. It's right now we're looking at about a $28,000 cut.
Right, right.
And so I guess now you've mentioned it a little bit, Will. We can talk about while the final decisions haven't been made and there still may be some money on the table or some more money that has to come out, there have been some decisions thus far in the proposed budget. And if we can take a look at those, you said, you know, right now the only places left to cut are payroll and programming. And my understanding is most public radio stations around the state here don't run with a lot of fat.
No.
Because you can't.
A lot of fat. That's a great expression. I've been nickel and diming the budget as I call it. And the word this week and even at our staff meeting in the building yesterday, there's no wiggle room in the budget. There's no discretionary money to when somebody comes to my office and you guys do all the time and say, hey, I got an idea. And I go, yeah, well, how are we going to pay for that? Because there's no creativity money in the budget. So But getting back to your original question, the current state grant from Alaska is 122,283, I think is the number. Mm-hmm. $122,000, okay? 23% of that is a $28,000 cut. Mm-hmm. Rounding numbers here.
Yeah.
And again, you know, in some worlds, that's not a lot of money. But in this little radio station, mm-hmm. that's a huge amount of money. So knowing that we went into the budget year, into the budget process without fat or wiggle room, call it what you want, we knew this was, you know, we're not mm-hmm. trimming fat. We're cutting into bone now, and that's what's going to hurt. So what we've done is we've, again, the budget's not approved.
Right.
But there's consensus, I would say, that this is what we're going to do unless something really drastic changes in the next few weeks. But we will, we're going to do a couple things with payroll. Total payroll, and this is just the paycheck part of payroll. This current year is $161,000. It's going to go down to $147,000. And every staff member is going to be furloughed for 2 weeks, and the general manager is going to go to an 80% FTE, which 4 out of 5 days mm-hmm. I'll be working. So that was the first thing we did. And then we looked at our programming and the costs of our programming, and it got it doesn't take too long if you looked at the spreadsheet that the only real place to cut this time around is PRI. And
Public Radio International.
Public Radio wow. International. And what the programs that we get from PRI are Science Friday, Living on Earth, and Selected Shorts.
Pretty sure, yeah. You mentioned Living on Earth, which is the one we always kind of forget.
Yes. Yeah. And Deb sitting in the other room, if I forgot something, she'll probably remind me.
She's nodding her head.
So those are the three programs. And, you know, I don't want to get into a whole lot of detailed information on the radio because I think some of it will go over, some of it's real detail-y stuff. But we're spending a little over $7,000 for those three programs. Okay.
Right.
Now, we pay... So we're going to do a comparison with other acquired program packages that we have. NPR, and I won't get this whole list right, but Morning Edition, All Things Considered, just those two programs, but everything else that comes with NPR, mm-hmm. KTNAV is $4,000.
Right.
And we couldn't drop NPR. I personally would not drop NPR. It would be... I worked at a station a long time ago where we dropped NPR because of a budget reason, and it hurt. I wasn't the manager at the time. I was sitting in your seat, news guy, and I was like, you're doing what? Who are we? And since that time, I've realized we're not, you know, people say, oh, you're an NPR station.
No, we're not.
We buy programming from NPR. That's the extent of that relationship. We're not a member. We don't vote. We don't take part in... most of that stuff. We don't have the resources to do that. But, you know, KTNA is a standalone program and can buy and broadcast any
whatever
programs that fit the values of public radio and KTNA.
So that's NPR.
That's NPR, $4,000.
Big chunk of programming.
It's a deal. It's a deal of the century. I haven't done the math of per minute or per hour of programming what the cost is. But NPR was not going to be touched. So when we have PRI, which I'm telling you that we are cutting in all likelihood, and then there's APM, American Public Media. We get BBC World Service mm-hmm. and Prairie Home Companion.
And what else? We get a number.
You have the list there.
There's a number. There's a list. Yeah.
Performance today,
which you just heard before the show.
On Being, Writer's Almanac. And some Christmas program. We could get more programs. This is a group negotiated on behalf of all the stations in Alaska. We pay to American Public Media $8,200, mm-hmm. again, for the BBC World Service. And we carry, 4 hours of that a day?
A day. More on the weekends.
And then Prairie Home Companion, which obviously would... raise just like any program we lose, it's going to make my phone ring, and I understand that. And And that's okay. So we pay $8,000. APM tells us on this piece of paper I'm looking at that this is a 65% discount over the market value. Mm. So we're not going to do much better, although I can tell you APM has called us up and said, we're trying to do a little better. They're trying, you know, they want their programs even in this, even in markets this small. My response is, well, if it's that important to you, just give it to us free. I like that number. We can make that work. But so, and then the other program package that we buy, okay, so far it's PRI for $8,000, APM for 82, NPR for a little over four. Again, I'm rounding numbers up. And then the Alaska Public Radio Network. News Nightly, the morning newscasts, Talk of Alaska, those special programs they do, Iditarod election coverage, the legislative report, and I'm sure there's another thing or two in there. We pay $9,400 for that. So that's the biggest check we write out. I'm hesitating here because I just have a hard time seeing me sitting at the table cutting APRN. It's too important to me personally. Many people have heard me say this, and we're not here to make me happy, but I think it's important for the state that we are in touch with each other, and right. I want to know what's going on in Barrow and Ketchikan and Nome and every place in between. So it's important.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about APRN, but first, the number to call if you want to join the conversation, if you want to start ringing the phones right now, it's 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org, or comment on the post I made on our Facebook page earlier this morning. So APRN, yesterday... there was a not unexpected, but still big news that KUAC in Fairbanks, I guess it should also be mentioned, out of the 27 radio stations around the state, every single one of them is having the same issue that we're looking at right now. Some to, you know, different extents based on their listener base, but there's a lot of probably 20 small radio stations our size or smaller around the state, and they're really having to look at what they're doing. And for Fairbanks, one of the biggest radio stations in the state, they've dropped APRN, which could have some big impacts on the network as a whole. You know, to talk about, because we've looked at this before with, you know, what we pay per minute for APRN. And the one thing that always stuck out to me is that we do pay a lot per minute of airtime for APRN, but it's also the only place that we can get what we get from them right now. And that might change someday. But for right now, like you said, you know, News Nightly and the morning newscast, there is literally nowhere else that we can get a statewide
It wasn't that long ago that we didn't have APRN.
And that was the other thing, Sue, because it was when you were on staff, right? Where were you on staff at that point?
We didn't have APRN.
So, and now that's, now we do. And so, and Will, you've got an extensive history all over the APRN network. So, I mean, looking forward, as we look at this potentially for the future, I guess... where I wanted to go next was talking about the future potentially, because like we said, we're looking this year, we took a big cut, and there was an attempt this year to give a bigger cut. And during one House Finance Committee meeting, I heard the term one-time funding for public radio used by one of the co-chairs. And, you know, we could be looking at a situation in the near future where we're dealing with an even bigger funding problem.
Well, let me get to that in a second. I want to go back to the APRN thing and KUAC for a second here. The APRN cost is, you know, you have little stations, a station, KTNA with a budget of a little over $300,000, and you have stations that have smaller budgets, and then you have stations like KUAC, but to kind of make it equitable, the cost for APRN is basically 3% of your cash budget. So our budget's a little over three, we pay a little over $9,000, okay? KUAC's budget is like $900,000.
Right.
They spend $35,000 on the program. And earlier I said that we pay NPR $4,200. KUAC pays $8,500 $85,000 for the same programs. So they try to make that equitable between right. rural and urban areas. But the there will be some kind of a ripple effect with KUAC dropping APRN. First off, APRN loses
a lot of money.
$35,000.
You know, in a budget, the APRN's budget is about $900,000 or $1 million. Somewhere around $400,000 of their budget comes from stations like us. The rest of the money comes from underwriting, from program sponsorship. So a couple things are going to happen immediately July 1st. We're not going to hear news coming out of Fairbanks through APRN, perhaps KTNA and KUAC.
We might be able to work something out, yeah.
But the rest of the state's not going to hear news coming out of that part of the interior. APRN's products will not be heard in Fairbanks and that part of the interior, and including Nome, who's KUAC has a translator up in Nome and Healy and a couple
right.
other.
Of course, Nome has KNOM, but
sure. But I'm talking about the Alaska Public right. Radio Network, and so that's going to be an impact on listeners. The other part is APRN does not have cannot go to. BP or the Tobacco Council and say, listen, we've got all these ears listening because they just lost about 30,000 ears, pairs of ears. So the value of the program is going to go down a little bit. Now, we might not really hear that in this first year, but as you said, into the future, mm-hmm. things are going to change more. The other part of KUAC, why they're dropping it, it's a university station.
Right.
And the university is getting whacked hugely by the state of Alaska. And so the university, their mission isn't necessarily to provide great radio program. It's to provide, you know, secondary education, post-secondary education. And their board of directors is not like Sue and the rest mm-hmm. of the great volunteers here. It's the Board of Regents.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
when they don't have a monthly meeting about the state of the art of KUAC, it's a Board of Regents meeting, and it's a blip on the agenda. So, you know, there's big concern for KUAC, not just this year. Last year, they threatened to drop APRN, and they backed off and cut staff instead.
Right, managed to work it out, yeah.
So managed to work it out, kind of, but that cripples them, too. One of them, the positions, was a fundraising position. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cyclical, and I won't say it's a total downward spiral, but it's not real pretty.
Well,
something's got to change.
I did hear, you know, it was interesting to me that once this happened to a public radio station that you saw commercial outlets, ADN, KTVA, a couple of the others running stories on it, because it's, you know, public radio is a significant force in the state. And you know, in one of the tweets I saw yesterday from a colleague who I forget exactly who it was, but the phrase canary in the coal mine was used. And not to bring the conversation way down, mm-hmm. but I think that there's a real possibility that we could be looking at major changes in the way that public radio stations in the state have to support themselves if they can.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a comment that I got a week ago or whenever from a local person who said, well, can't FEMA step in and do this because it's all about, you know, the community.
Mm.
And
I
know,
really
so
don't
want to
be dealing
of,
with FEMA
you know,
on a daily basis.
And I don't either, but isn't it interesting like yeah. what people are thinking about what our community radio station does?
Yeah.
Well, and
what it's about.
That's been one of, you know, because
it's one of the arguments for support of public radio, but FEMA's not going to fund it.
No, they're not.
No.
No.
Well, and especially when you've got the federal government also looking
yeah, right.
at, and I guess that bears mentioning is every once in a while you get an effort on the federal side for somebody to, you know, somebody will try to come through and gut public radio funding, and it's been fought off successfully because no, it's across party lines. It's kind of a nonpartisan issue, at least for people from some states like Alaska, Montana, any rural state where your people rely, where public radio is all there is a lot of the time. And that's the argument that was used in the state legislature as well is, okay, this is all there is in a lot of villages. You know, here you can get satellite TV or what have you, but as far as radio, you know, we're classified as a sole provider because there's nobody that's not a repeater within 50 miles of our tower. So if there is an emergency, like in 2012 with the floods, or, you know, whenever there's an emergency in any part of the state, a lot of the time it's the local public radio station that people turn to. And I guess in the midst of all this, we should say that we have seen a definite uptick in local support ever since this news came out.
Yeah, and really, if you look at it, and Will can talk about this too, but if you look at percentages, the small places like Talkeetna, percentage-wise,
per capita,
we do way, way better than Anchorage.
We do very well. Yeah, there has been an uptick. You know, we talked a little bit about budget cuts. How do you cut the budget?
Right.
Well, it's kind of two different thing. One is raise money or cut expenses. And besides the loss of the $28,000 in state funds impacting this particular budget, there's those usual things of cost of utilities going up, insurance is going
right.
up. We'll be lucky if our audit cost doesn't go up. Other program costs will go up a little bit. But we also have, you know, there is a health plan for staff here at the station, and the costs are that of that are getting crazy for this station, and the board has not addressed this really yet, but I think there's going to have to be some statement. I'm not speaking about myself here, but the staff is underpaid, and if we lose the health benefit, I know that it's just another, you know,
Another
job, and is it worth it for me to go there? So our health costs are going up. So it's more than just cutting $28,000 out of the budget. We are taking it to the listeners. Again, we said that the listeners will hear the cuts, and the staff will feel the impact. And by the staff working less, there will be less service. Sometime the phone, nobody's going to answer the phone. Maybe your message is not going to get on the radio till the next day. So many things that in some ways the community takes for granted might not be available. But I think the bigger discussion, while this has been, a bit of a stress on cutting the budget, fighting off the blue meanies, as I call them, as they try to eliminate public broadcasting for whatever crazy reason is out there. Structurally, it's got to change. And there have been attempts over the last way too many years to do that. But, you know, we took a 28% cut last year. Everybody listening knows this is not really about public radio. It's the state is in big problem,
right.
Big trouble financially, and really has not come out with a plan that's going to ward off any cuts for next year. So... we, you know, 28%, 23% cut. It's not very fun.
Right.
But next year is going to be ugly, I think. And we've talked about that. We need to have strategic planning. There's discussion about outsourcing some of the backroom stuff. We will do everything we can to protect local news and local access to the airwaves and the services that we provide to the community. You know, I don't really care where my paycheck comes from. They can mail it from anywhere as long as I get it. So I don't care who does that work. I don't care who pays our bills. Ideally, it'd be very nice to have that all in under one roof. But those days are probably changing. The message from the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission, the organization that allocates the grants to the stations, has come out with a statement saying we are interested in preserving service,
right,
not stations. So, and that's kind of my goal. I'll say this. You tell me there's only 1 minute left here?
But until the bottom of the hour.
Oh, okay. Man, that went fast. I can't see the
you're
clock.
Doing
but
good.
But we're, I've always said this over the years when there's been threats of public funds being taken away from public broadcasting. Station's not going to go dark. There will always be a public radio service. It might,
be different.
Sure.
It probably will be different down the road, but it's here to stay.
All right. Well, we are just about to the bottom of the hour. We're halfway through. If you want to join in on the second half of the conversation, the number is 733-1200, or you can email us dj@ktna.org and discuss the future of KTNA, the current budget situation. Ask any questions you might have. We've got the two people in the room most likely to be able to answer them. So we'll be right back. Back for the second half of Sioux Valley Voice. My guests today are Will Peterson, KTNA's general manager, and Sue Dio, KTNA's board of directors president. And we've been talking about KTNA and the budget situation at KTNA, and I guess public radio and the state as a whole as a consequence of that. And during the break, we talked about we mentioned the PRI programs that are going to be going away, most likely. But there could be some other programming changes, or there are plans for other programming changes as well. Will, can you?
Sure. We've been talking about that. We're dropping programs. It doesn't mean there's going to be an hour of deadness or dark air.
Right. Or there's replacement.
Deb has been working tirelessly to try to figure out what to put in those spots.
And that's why she has less hair. I noticed that.
I'll stay out of that conversation.
Pulling it out by the chunk.
Yeah, by the chunks.
Right, Science Friday is a two-hour program on Friday.
Yeah.
And again, I'm going to keep saying this. One of my favorite programs.
I love Science Friday.
Well, see, the phone's already
there. It goes.
I don't get to listen to the radio very often in my office. It just doesn't
That's
work.
That's the only program I listen to.
But I do have appointment listening like a lot of other people, and this program is going to be a loss. I understand that. And I am a listener, and I'm going to feel that same pain. I'm still trying to get over the loss of the political junkie. I still miss Bob Edwards. So
I do too. I have his cup.
So, Science Friday, instead of a two-hour hole there, right now, most of the days of the week, we have here and now at 10 o'clock for an hour. And then from 11 to 12, we have Fresh Air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We could... you could do a variety of things there, but this is what we're doing. We're going to move Fresh Air to 3 o'clock. We're going to drop Democracy Now, and I'm sure that'll get the phone ringing.
Well, there's already somebody on the line, so
we're going to drop Democracy Now and see how that goes. But Fresh Air is going to move to 3 o'clock. Here Now is going to go to 11 to 12 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 10 o'clock hour, it's a little bit different on a lot of days anyway. Every Tuesday is Talk of Alaska.
Alternate Wednesdays.
We do this show.
Sioux Valley Voice. So Monday and Thursday and Friday and alternating Wednesdays, there are going to be some different programs that we're pulling from mostly from NPR that we've already paid for. TED Radio Talk is one of, I'm not going to get all this right.
I'm a big fan of TED Radio.
TED Radio Hour.
But they're hour-long programs, quality public radio programs coming out of NPR, whether they're produced by NPR or station-based, I couldn't tell you. And we've got a draft program schedule. I guess I didn't bring that down.
I didn't either. That's preparedness.
So that's the major change impacted by losing Science Friday. You know, I want to talk a little bit about, we'll be talking.
Somebody's
about,
on the phone.
Yeah. We do have somebody. We have Bill on the line.
Take the call.
Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And what did you want to talk about?
Well, I hadn't heard earlier on, but I've been listening to you as you guys were talking, and I tell you, I really hate to see Science Friday go.
Oh,
I didn't even know that.
I'm sort of crying.
So do we. Will said he loves it. I love it too.
I would rather you lose the 11 to 4 or 6 a.m. stuff that's just over and over and over. I mean, it's like every half hour, even though it changes programs a couple times, it's the same stuff over. I'd rather you know, like maybe after, you know, 12 and, you know, actually like 1 a.m. and or 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. have that national news and then be done with it.
He sort of missed it.
You understand
it.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think you might have missed the earlier.
I did.
Yeah, with this conversation about what costs what and that kind of stuff. So,
oh, I see.
Because you're talking about like the NPR newscast.
Mm-hmm. And we can go over that really briefly.
Well, it seemed like to me in the distant past, we used to just have like a long tape or something of music then.
Through the night you're talking about?
Uh-huh.
That's true. Yeah,
probably
long time ago,
I would say before my time. You know, in the past, a lot of stations weren't carrying BBC, and it became a stopgap measure. Some stations went to all jazz overnight, or all classical music, mm-hmm. or World Cafe all night long, and BBC has been in the program schedule for the time I've been here, anyway.
So, Bill, are you one of those folks? Do you listen during the night a lot and not necessarily during the day, or do you just...
No. I literally set this cell phone I'm talking on. It's set for 7:30 in the morning. It's set for 5 to 12, and it's set for 5:55, so I can catch
the news.
That's awesome.
That's the main thing. If I'm outside working, I put the stuff down, come in, listen to the four things you have on at that time. And, well, plus I like to get the sunrise, sunset.
Yeah.
But anyway, that would be my thing is, of all the stuff, is that 11 to 6 time frame is, I don't know, to me, it's just over and over and over. And, well, not always 11 to 12, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
with the overnight.
I do. You know, Bill, part of what we're doing this year is somewhat of a stopgap measure. Again, you just heard not too long ago I spoke about the idea is to preserve the service, not necessarily the bricks and mortar of the operation. And with a lot of good work and a lot of cooperation, perhaps we'll be able to restore all those programs next year. But it's only with restructuring.
I don't know. I don't see it getting better next year as far as the state goes.
I agree.
Us either.
I'm not talking about getting more money. I'm talking about a restructure of saving costs so that we're not having to cut program.
My last request is, because I didn't miss it, if you could give a quick rerun of like Science Friday must be the most expensive one,
yes.
Is that's why you're dropping
yeah.
it is.
Well,
it
it's, is. It, Bill, we get stuff in packages, and I'd be very happy. We did kind of go through this. I'll tell you real quickly, but anybody else.
Let me go off and listen on the radio, okay?
All right, and
thanks
there
for
will
the call,
be
Bill.
A repeat of this program, I think, tonight at
7 o'clock, yeah.
So.
Good.
And if people that might be a nice thing if people only tune in for the last half hour.
Right.
Thanks really a lot, Bill.
Thanks for the call, Bill.
Appreciate it.
Bye. If you wanted to join in on the conversation as well, we've got about 20 minutes left in the show. The number is 733-1200. Will, and you were one more time run through that real quick. So PRI, which is the package we're most likely drop. Well. It's kind of a package, kind of a la carte. It's
one. It's only one or two programs.
It's three programs.
Three programs.
Shorts. You're talking about the cost of the different packages?
PRI,
we're paying a little over $7,000 for the package of those programs.
Science Friday,
2 hours on a Friday, an hour of Living on Earth Friday evening, and then Selected Shorts
Sunday nights, right? Which are three really good programs.
Three great programs. Three great public radio programs. The American Public Media package is a little over $8,000, and we get BBC World Report and
Prairie Home Companion.
Prairie Home Companion. And some other...
And a list of a few others.
Yeah, there's...
Yeah, Writer's Almanac, some holiday programs that we get, and Performance Today, another...
Performance Today, which is, like I said, is the program that was on right before us this morning.
And what I also said earlier is we didn't do a mathematical equation and see what do we pay per broadcast minute or program minute and made decisions based on that. Obviously, we have some of that in the back of our mind, but it was... what are we going to lose for these dollars, and what are we going to be able to maintain by losing something else? Alaska Public Radio Network, a little over $9,000, and all of NPR, $4,200.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I also want to say something else. We have a package we're paying about, and this is what I call acquired programs. We're paying this year with the budget cut about a little over $33,000. I have to tell you, The local news costs are with the entire pay package, we're spending more than that $40,000 or $35,000, whatever it is, on local news.
Yeah.
So oh, yeah, per minute.
Well, it's just, you know, it's labor. Yeah. You know, with APRN, you share the mm-hmm. shared cost. NPR, we can't afford to have Corey Flintoff over in Italy or wherever he is today.
I love Corey. Yeah.
And,
okay.
A great Alaskan, too. So those are the main deals. Another phone call.
We do have another phone call. This is Tony about Democracy Now. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm terribly upset about the cancellation of Democracy Now. That's our only light, you know, coming. You're turning into a desert here of mentality. Is there going to be any hope for getting Democracy Now back? Or that's a huge representation of... you know, a different line of thinking.
Am I hearing feedback here?
We got a little bit of echo.
Here's what we're doing. You know, this is a program, and this is a program that we're not spending money on. Apparently, we're supposed to be paying them, but they told us a year or so ago that we're going to send you a bill because you're supposed to be paying. We've been under the radar, but it's a free program for us right now, and that, you know, maybe today in the mail I'll get the bill finally, and I don't know what it would be, but not a lot of money, I could tell you that. There has been, in my tenure here, major discussions about this program. This program is... the word that was used at the board meeting last night is very polarizing. It's a program that there are many people as passionate as you, Tony, about this program. There are just as many people who are so opposed to this program. We have a community advisory board, and for two years, this was an item that would not go away. And in fact, sometime in late fall, in fall of last year,
yeah, it sounds right.
The CAB passed a resolution asking, and it's an advisory group. They requested that we drop the program immediately and permanently. And I chose not to do that because I at the same time. That there are people who really are opposed to the program. There are people just as passionate as you, Tony. So what we're going to do here, and we have the radio station has taken, I would say, quite a bit of criticism over the program over the years. And so we're going to give it a shot without the program. I really hope you don't mean that the station is becoming a desert because of the loss of one program. I really believe that public radio's best work is not measured in a time slot or a particular program, but it should be measured in the entire body of work, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. Now, obviously, we have some technical problems, and we drop out from time to time.
Right.
But I really don't I can't accept the statement that's saying by losing this program that we become a and this is my language that we become a thought wasteland. I just don't accept that.
Sure.
I do know that. That my phone's going to be ringing off the hook, and we're going to be having lots of these conversations. But my decision, our decision in the building was, let's give this a shot. I'll take whatever flack comes our way.
Well, we do love you, you know.
Good.
but there is no other representation of that type of information.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that, Tony. I can tell you that there are people who in my face have told me the program is anti-Semitic, it's racist, and
well, those are the hate mongers.
Well, they're members of the community, and I listen to their comments is the only way I can describe it. There's some people I've been told this week that if you drop the program, I'm not going to continue supporting the station financially. I also know that over the years, there have been people in the community that will not support the radio station because of that program.
Which sounds silly.
I don't want to say that anybody's thoughts are
well,
silly, but
it's controversy.
No, it's not true.
This is is a program. Here's my personal opinion. I don't. The content is
another point of view.
Well, I'm not sure what the point of view is in that program, but I can tell you that is the most poorly produced program on radio, and that's a technical thing. I'm not criticizing. The tone of Amy, but just the technical qualities of the radio program are absolutely terrible. And that's the way the program is produced.
Well, we're interested in the content instead of the presentation.
I understand that. I do listen to the program because of all the, again, I said this earlier, I don't get to listen a whole lot in my office, but I have been listening to this program more and more. From the conversations that have come my way over the last several years, very interesting stuff. Sometimes they beat on stuff that's terrible. One of the things that annoys me, and again, we're not dropping this program to make me happy. I just don't believe in running a radio station like that. But the program comes out of New York City at 4 or 5 in the morning, our time.
Local time. Yeah.
I think it's
time.
4.
Is there going to be anywhere else, even in the morning, or any place?
Well, you know, I asked somebody that this week, and I've asked it several times, you know, should we take it live and run it at 4 in the morning? And the response was, well, that's kind of silly. It's like not running it.
Is that
any place?
We can take it live, I guess. Yeah.
We've talked about that. We've actually talked about
Deb would
live.
Have to answer that question, could we?
Yeah. We have talked about that in the past, actually having it live and running it.
I have heard this statement as well that I hear things on that program that I can't hear anywhere else, and I take that into consideration and. That's probably an accurate statement. I will say the same thing.
That's valuable.
I will say the same thing about NPR. I will say, you know, there are some things that we hear everywhere, clearly, including on Democracy Now. But I hear the same things. I hear stuff on Performance Today that I don't hear anywhere else. I hear stuff on the Alaska Public Radio Network that I don't hear anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So I think every program. You know, this one probably has a little bit more aggressive tone to it, bias, call it what you want. Again, you're not going to hear me defend the program very much, but it's an award-winning program. Maybe not the awards that some people would like to see it win, but it's received some tremendous accolades since its beginning of time. I call it, it's Democracy Now, the War and Peace Report. I don't know why it's named like that. I like to call it Democracy Now, the Rant and Rave Report. Great conversations, great guests. There's some stuff that I'm really glad I had the opportunity to listen to on some days. And I would say the same about a whole lot of other programs. So we're going to give this a shot, Tony.
Yeah,
all right.
And Tony, you know,
thank you so much.
No, thank you, Tony. And, you know, truthfully, I sort of feel the same way about Science Friday that she does about Democracy Now.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to cry, but I don't know, you know, I mean, as we look at the budget, I don't know what to do. You know, I thought about, you know, calling, maybe Amy would just give us some money. I don't know. You know, it's like, would Ira Flatow just give us
$10,000? Yeah. Well, thank you very much for the call, Tony. We're going to go ahead and free up the line in case somebody else wants
to get in the last bit. Thank you.
Bye-bye. So the number is 733-1200, and for the last little bit here, I was going to say we'll try to open up 1205, but it looks like 1205 is occupied.
Ringing again.
So, and there goes the light for 1200 again, so I think the last 10 minutes here is going to be filled with some calls. We'll try to keep them fairly short so we can get a couple more people on the air, if at all possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's, and Will, you've...
Philip, we just have a few minutes, and I don't want to hijack your time here. You maybe have an agenda, and we're going to go to a call here. You know, what I talked about, there's got to be change in this next year, restructure of the organization and restructure of public radio. It's going to be a tough grind, and who knows what success will be out there. At the same time, there's a conversation going on in Talkeetna that's been going on for a year and a half or so. About the same kind of a thing. How can several nonprofits who aren't funded as well as they would like to be and or need to be to work towards their mission, how can they do business together better than they can do it alone? Most of us, and we're talking about the Arts Council, NSI, and the Historical Society, somewhat of shared missions. And yet we're standalone organizations. One of the biggest issues is how do you get a very good functioning board? The biggest problem, and there's people telling us you're not going to save money by collaborating or consolidating, but the human resource issue is tremendous.
Board fatigue.
Anybody that sits on a board or works for a board, you know, we're having an election. We need a board member. Yeah. Let's beat the bushes. You know, this board has 7 members on it. What does your board have?
7.
Mm-hmm. There's no.
Arts Council has 9.
There are 9 seats.
Yeah. So pretty quickly, you're talking about in this little tiny population, you're looking at people who are passionate about the mission, who are willing, who have the time and are willing to give it to that mission. You know, at the same time, this conversation's going to be going on statewide about how to reorganize public broadcasting. Conversation will continue in Talkeetna
about nonprofits. In general. Yeah. We do have another call on the line. Go ahead. Who's this?
Ooh, whoa!
And first, gonna get you to turn your radio down.
Yeah. Ow! Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Dave. I would like to echo.
Turn your radio off.
Ow! Ow!
Sorry, Dave. If you go ahead and turn your radio down for me, and then I'll turn you back on here.
Okay.
Oh, we're still getting some echo.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm still hearing myself feedback.
Huh.
Is your radio off, Dave? Ow.
Is our radio off, Dave? Yeah. Oh, it is off. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure what's causing that
Anyway, I'd just like to echo Tony's sentiments regarding loss of Democracy Now. I think the opposition has been disproportionately loud, and I don't think they're an accurate, you know, I'd like to see a poll of the community, an accurate poll of who's for, who's against, and I don't think that's been done. I think it's been a biased survey, if any. And I do see it as a step toward homogenizing the news, dumbing it down, and turning it into a desert. Losing Noam Chomsky is enough reason to keep that program on the air.
All right. Well, thanks, Dave. We'll go ahead and free up the line in case somebody else wants to call in the last few minutes. But any comments on Dave's comments?
Well, I'm sure that Dave and I will be speaking. I really have, you know, Dave echoed Tony's comments, and I don't have anything at this particular time to add to it. We can go back and forth all day. I understand Dave is not, and
a lot of people
and many people. I get that, and I don't want to talk about, you know, there really wasn't a survey that addressed this that led me to this conclusion. There was just the last survey of the community, I think, happened just prior to my arrival.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Democracy Now! Was, you know, basically split in support in the community. But I'm sure Dave and I will be talking. And
it sounds like we have Bill back on the line. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, this particular program is about funding. I'm wondering if those two individuals that will be willing to pay for that poll.
Well, talk a little bit about that.
Bill, we don't pay for Democracy Now.
No, I'm talking about that he wanted a poll of...
Oh, yeah.
You know, polls cost money.
Well, and I'm kind of in the same arena with you on that, Bill. If it's not a well-done survey, it's absolutely a waste of time.
So,
yeah, so that comment kind of jabbed me a little bit.
Well, thanks for calling us back, Bill. We're going to go ahead and free the line. We might have time to take one more call here.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, so we just got a couple minutes left. We got about 4 minutes left here, and the phone is not ringing, so maybe we'll just dedicate these last few minutes to wrap up here. So, you know, Will, you said you expect your phone to be ringing a lot, and you know, for discussion as far as what's going on with the program and going forward, we do have the draft schedule in front of us now. I mean, if people want to take a look at the draft schedule, we've got that available here. We might be able to find some way to make it more widely available. But as for right now, it is just a draft. So.
Right. It's a work in progress. You know, it's probably 90% set. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Yeah, I'm easy to reach. I'm going to be traveling. I should tell everybody that I'm going to be traveling and out of the office over the next week or so, 10 days. But I'd be happy to take your phone call. A little reluctant to give my cell over the air. But you can get my cell number by calling the station and ask that you would like to talk to me about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is very important to me, obviously.
Important to me, too. Talk to me.
Right. Yeah, well, we do just have a couple of minutes left. So, I mean, if each of you just kind of a parting statement, at least for this hour, on the message to the listeners in about a minute.
I would say a couple things. One is stay tuned.
It's not the end of the discussion.
I know that no matter what we do at a radio station, I've always said that we'll get three phone calls. One saying, I don't like that. The other one saying, I do like that. And the other person says, what time is it? so anything we do is going to upset somebody, make somebody happy. And if public radio fails at anything, it's trying to make everybody happy all the time. It's just not going to work. Right. Tough decisions here. But again, your board of directors is taking them very seriously.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we have had a lot of discussions, and we're going to continue that. And we'll go into this next year doing some strategic planning, and it'll include other people, too. I mean, it's not just the board that's going to have that discussion. It'll include the community as we try to figure out what goes on in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and I mean, when it comes to programming, and since Democracy Now! Did kind of become the topic of the last 20 minutes or so of the show, I know, Will, you and I have talked about that program a lot. there's been a lot of conversation amongst the entire staff in the building. You know, our programming director, you, me, our business manager, when we're talking about, okay, what is the billing status of this program?
Mm-hmm.
But it has been... a long conversation.
It's not over either.
And it's not over. By a long shot. You know, I don't think any of the programming discussions are over in the long term. We just have, you know, we're making the decisions are being made for what's going to happen for the next, you know, next year, starting on July 1. So there will be some changes. We do have that draft schedule available here at the station. Come by, pay us a visit, or pay us a visit for any number of other reasons. And we'll be happy to talk to you. That is just about all the time we've got for today for Sioux Valley Voice. My guests have been Sue Dio, KTNA's board president, and Will Peterson, KTNA's general manager. If you missed part of the show or want to listen again, Sioux Valley Voice will rebroadcast at 7 o'clock tonight, or you can listen online anytime at ktna.org. Join us again in 2 weeks when the topic will be the Talkeetna Recycling Program. I'm Philip Manning. Thanks for listening.